The Crash Course Live is presented by Smash It Demolition Derby
and the 2016 Bashford Cast. Demo Derby Masters. Winter Slam 2016. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash in Capital City Carnage.
Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good evening. Good afternoon. Welcome to episode number 156 of the Crash Course on a very snowy and wintry day here to kick off Thanksgiving week here in the Finger Lakes. We've gotten somewhere around 24 inches of snow. Enjoyed a surprise snow day today for everybody that was headed off to the schools. More snow expected over the course of the evening, and just nasty road conditions all over the place. If I understand correctly, Seneca Falls was closed down. We weren't supposed to be traveling, but nonetheless, we're here to talk with Luke Johnson and Zach Johnson here through the course of episode number 156. Excited to be back home. The 2016 Derby season has officially concluded. We are all done traveling to Demolition Derbies. Not to say that there aren't more coming up. The Tim Tigert Memorial, that is on deck coming up. We've got that is going to be at 73 North Meridian Street in Greentown, Indiana. We'll talk about that a little bit more later on through the course of the show. The first order of business, we've got to get a hold of Luke Johnson. We're going to be talking with him about his run to a win at Blizzard Bash in Topeka last weekend with Ultimate Derby. Blizzard Bash coming away with that win. That is the second time Luke Johnson has been in victory lane with a team in the last 3 years. He won with Underdogs, and with him was Luke, can I put you in? Hang on. And there's Luke Johnson right there. Luke, man, how are you?
Good.
So came away with the win at Blizzard Bash. It's got to be an important one for you.
Oh, very important. It's I can't believe it's happened twice.
Well, that's one of the things that it's been so long since anybody's been able to repeat. It took a long time for anybody to get to a point where they repeat. Nick Urlacher was the first guy to do it. He won back, I think, in 2010 with Team Brown, and then he won with Team Kansas last year. And now we've got a bunch of guys that are on your team that have picked up their second win in the last 3 years. The level of competition continues to get higher and higher. The challenge of trying to get to that main event, the roads get tougher and tougher. To come with the win in this one, and nonetheless having you and Toast right there at the end against Robbie Brockway, it's no small feat, and it can't be overlooked.
No, absolutely not. It's just like I said, like you said, the rounds, you know, they get every year. It seems like it gets harder and harder. If you can just stay in that winner's bracket, you know, obviously you're in a lot better shape. But and then again, look who you're facing. That make that winner's bracket every time. I mean, look at the teams that were out there.
Right. What was the difference in car selection this year versus years past?
I mean, far as
in terms of the build process, in terms of how you guys looked at it, what you guys brought as a collective. We saw the mix last year where the old iron was bending the Fords, but then we got rid of the dash bar kicker and you guys opted again to go with Fords, which doesn't surprise me at all. You've brought them, I think, as long as I can remember seeing you in cars, they've been in new style Crown Vicks or if nothing else, the mid-90s Lincolns. You guys went along the same lines there, even with the changes. The 03s came back in. What were you guys talking about as a team in terms of what cars you were going to bring and why?
You know, like you know, Toast said he wanted to bring the 03. He was more comfortable with that. You know, obviously I was more comfortable with the 98 02. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously look at Adam Fouché and Daryl Monroe. Look at all the things they've done in their Crown Vic. So
right.
I think it's just a general census. We just went with something we're comfortable with, you know.
Sure.
The thing of it is that when you're in a Vic like that, though, I don't like going against them Cadillacs. You know, the soft track, I think, really helped us out that first night.
People were arguing back and forth about the soft track, and I've seen the arguments on the side as well. It left the bigger cars hung out to dry. At the same time, the bigger cars had more area to spread their weight over, so they were able to be more mobile. You had the same guys that were everybody was on the track under the same conditions, so you had to kind of plan it out. In terms of what happened the first night, you felt that it was of a benefit for you. How so?
I just felt it was. I mean, they couldn't get the full head of steam on a, you know, on a fast track to get those long shots on us.
Sure. The difference, though, was that the track was turned over and it turned into a concrete palace the second night. You could roast the tires right off the cars on the subsequent nights to that. How did that change things?
Well, then that changed things back to, I personally felt, you know, I don't know how the other guys thought, but we're back to, it's Vic on Vic, you know, it's back to an even field for round two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can just get them guys pinned or against the wall, you know, and then we can, you know, it's not going to be a weight factor.
The berm played into it. We saw that happen a couple times, that some of the guys got hit so hard it dropped clay, large chunks of clay on the backs of their car, and sometimes that was enough to give them traction so they could get back off the wall and drive away. But if you got caught there with multiple shots, it could bend your car and bend it in screwy ways in a hurry.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like I said, I think the first night played a big part in our hand, and then, like, the second night we were, you know, back to even keel. And then the third night, you know, the track was pretty crowded.
Who was the team that surprised you out there? I mean, I got to believe that there was at least one point through the weekend where you left yourself thinking, boy, that wasn't what I was expecting to happen.
I try not to watch a lot of it.
Yeah.
I just hung out by the car. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many good teams out there. I mean, look at what you know, Ingram and Whitaker had to go through. I mean, for them guys to come up with a second, they had to run all weekend long and work and work and work on their cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just insane, and they're still there. I mean, that's how good them guys are, you know.
Does it tend to your favor when you've got a couple guys that are wild cards out there in that final round that you know they're going to want to go wide open, that they're going to want to go make haymakers, and you just kind of stay out of their way and let them take themselves out? Or do you try and cut a deal with those guys and say, hey, look, this is what our mission is. You want to run with us and you don't want us to get in your way, you don't want us to hit you, you go after those guys and run with us?
I don't know. You could see it a couple different ways. I mean, I believe there are politics that play into some of this stuff, you know. I've been burnt by them politics before, and our teammates have been burnt by them politics before too. So I mean, you got to go out there kind of with an open mind. But you know, there's, you know, like the Whitaker's team, Brockway team, you know, Ingram and them guys. You know, obviously we're all gonna hang out together. We're all running Ingram stuff, you know. So I mean, it's an awesome piece, and you know, actually this is the first time I ever ran that piece, and I'm just excited about it. You know, it's a nice piece.
What was the part that got you excited about it? What did it do that you were lacking?
The weight factor and the strength, you know, it just seems like it really held the car together. Mm-hmm. That tranny brace, that Ingram cells, and then the cradle and all that. You know, it was a beast to put in, but overall, I think it's just a good product, and I'm happy to own it.
Are you spending more time building the cars for Blizzard Bash than you did previously? You talked about it being a beast to put in, and everything has to be so tied together and locked together, and then you get it to a point where you got to predict where it's going to bend so that you can get your lock-in points right. Are you spending more time on the cars now than you have in the past?
This was the only wild car I actually built all season long. I pretty much ran bone stock all year. So, you know, it was a lot of new things for me to experiment with. I've never ran the Joker spindles before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never ran this cradle. And we essentially had about a month to build this car. We carried a frame off the pile out back, and I think that was on the 28th of September. We carried the frame in, bare frame.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, it was all pretty relative, the same stuff, same build. I think the welding lightened up a little bit this year on the car, you know. And we just wanted them. I made so many calls to that Austin Johnson and about the rules and stuff, and I don't want to get there like previous years and have to cut for 8 hours one day, run out of oxygen, run out of acetylene, and go back the next day and cut for 4 hours. I had like 21 small little stupid things on the upper half of the car, and I think I only had two things when I had to cross the hoist.
How did that go for you then? I mean, with 21 things on the top of the car, it sounds like a lot, but it doesn't. It could very well just be little tiny cut things. It's no big deal. Having only two on the bottom half of the car is a major step. I mean, we've been there.
Major step, and that's where I think this year, I think they're pretty much clear on the rules. I think everybody was pretty happy with some things. I mean, you could always interpret it, you know, 100 different ways, but I believe the two things on my car, I had the watts, factory watts brackets on the outside of the frame, and I had the factory tranny cross member brackets I had to cut off. And then I had a sway bar, not a sway bar, but I had a drag link brace on my car. So maybe I had three things, but I mean, it was so minor that we had to cut off in a matter of 10 minutes.
What does that, not so much physically, in terms of the exhausting nature of having to cut for 8 hours and spend all that time, but instead mentally, where does that put you in terms of the weekend? If you go through across the ramps, you've only got a couple quick three things you need to do, and your car's back in business. You're not cutting the car apart. You're not having to worry about what pressures are being taken off because you have to make these changes. You're not physically underneath the car and thinking about how you got to undo all this stuff and the draining of your energy because, well, I asked about this, now I got to cut it. And you know, what energy and mindset does that change for you compared to years past going through this year?
Well, you can look at it both ways. You can look at it and say, you know, Jesus Christ, I'm way underbuilt. Just say, you know, I'm glad that we only had a month to build this car and didn't have time for a lot of, you know, extra sneakers, you know, whatever you got to do. But, you know, in that case, it's like, you know what, I'm done. I'm through inspection. Let's just get on with the show. And then quit gawking at everybody else's stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because you can psych yourself right out, you know.
Sure. Is that also one of the reasons why you don't watch the other heats?
I know we're sitting in the lineup, and Daryl and Adam went and watched, and I knew the track was getting faster, and I didn't even want to watch it. I just sat in my car.
Yeah. What's that like? Same thing on that mental page. What's that like when you're sitting out there in line, and you're waiting for round one, or maybe you're waiting for round two, or even, you know, round three? You're sitting out there in line, and you're sitting in your car after you've already done the work on it, be it that it's the fresh build and you're going up for the first time, or you've worked in the pits for all this extra time through the course of the day, and the cars coming out through the door are just wasted in all sorts of funky ways. What's going through your mind as you prepare to go into the arena after you've seen all the stuff coming out just twisted?
Just try not to think about it, you know?
Yeah.
Is your training cooler fan on, you know? Try not to think about it. Try not, you know, just make sure, you know, try to pick your shots and just try not to psych yourself out is what I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few, like, local shows. I get more worried about winning those back-to-back and trying not to fail there than I, you know, did about some of these major shows.
Is there the same pressure? With all the folks that we've talked about, everybody has said the same thing over and over again. Is the pressure to repeat as a winner or the pressure to win isn't nearly as great as the pressure to just get to the feature?
It's the pressure, you know, like I said, like the local shows, it seems like I got a lot of pressure on me, especially some of the repeats, you know, some of the smaller shows. And I enjoy those shows, but, you know, like, you know, a couple months back, we went to this Balsam Lake in Wisconsin. It was like the sixth time in a row I won it. Then my sister came, and Elizabeth brought a bunch of friends and people and this and that. We had like 16 people there, and I'm like, this ain't going to be good, you know? You know, and a big show like this, it's like, you know, you really don't know a lot of people in the stands, and you really don't care. You just got to do the best you can do.
Right.
That's how I look at it.
How many shows did you run through the course of this year?
I think Blizzard was like my eighth.
Yeah. Is that about where you want to be in terms of how many shows that you do? With them being bone stock, you should be able to crank those cars out relatively quick. But your bone stock where you are and our bone stock where I am is two very different things.
Right. You know, one of the bone stocks was Mayhem, you know.
Right.
I mean, you can't be going out every weekend wrecking $2,500 wagons and putting, you know, strain on your drivetrain and winning $2,000, $3,000 here and there, you know.
Mm.
So, I mean, I guess it's where I'm at after 26 years of Derbying. If I can run 8-10 shows a year, you know, maybe build, like I did this year, one weld car, maybe two, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe go back to the Mayhem thing, do maybe a couple smaller local things that I enjoy doing, and just try to keep it simple.
Is it still fun?
There was a lot of stress on me, and thank God for my family, how supportive they are to let me go ahead and build this Blizzard car. You know, I'm losing sleep over it. Like I said, I never ran an Ingram cradle, never ran a brace, I never ran a spindles, and I just don't want to go out there and look like a fool, you know. So there was a lot of pressure on me personally, and I'm sure, you know, I was crabby and cranky around here versus, you know, thank goodness I got, you know, wonderful teammates like Daryl and Adam and Toast that have all ran this equipment and just, you know, hey, bud, this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. And I'm sure I just, you know, calling them guys 100 times all the time, probably, you know, they're like, Jesus Christ, just figure it out, you know. But I just wanted to make sure it was done and done right, you know.
Mm-hmm. How far is this change that you've put into this car versus where it was when you won Blizzard Bash the first time? I mean, making that many phone calls, it makes me think that there's a lot more into the intricacies of the build. You know, the general mechanics of this goes here, this goes there, this is what we're going to get this to do, and this is where we want this to have pressure, blah, 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 blah. Right. That's all the same. But then there's the intricacies of it where you've got the different style training cross member, you've got the different element with the spindles and things like that.
It's a totally different car. I think the only thing same about this car is, you know, my engine builder, the dash bar, and the gas tank protector, and my rear end.
Really?
Other than that, maybe my roof sign. I think I've had that roof sign for about 10, 15 years, but, I mean, that's it.
Really?
That's it.
And that's surprising to me. Is that just because of the Crown Vic evolution and what the car has become in terms of national build, or just to make sure that the parts that you've got are working good with the car that you've chosen?
I'd say both. You know?
Yeah.
The national build, and, you know, and just make sure the parts are working good with the car, in the car that I'm comfortable with.
It would strike me that those parts have made you a believer, though.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like I said, the Joker spindles are just amazing. And, you know, after I was kind of nervous after, you know, listening to the guys that ran the Capital Carnage, had some issues with some other spindles. They said there was, you know, wheels laying all over a track, you know, you know, like I said, I never ran this Ingram setup before, and I absolutely love it. So, I mean, just those two huge, important items that, you know, I believe can make or break you.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. That situation with the Capital City, those were not his parts, I believe. I can't remember who made those. I want to say maybe they were Crusher.
And I guess there was many different, what I was told, there was many different ones, and if you had the Joker spindles, you're a lucky man.
Right.
I actually got those spindles last year for Christmas. Elizabeth bought them for me for Christmas. So, and they sat in a shop, and we walked around them 100 times and looked at them and thought, those are an animal.
Yeah. And they certainly seem to have paid off for you. Going through those final moments out there, you saw Toast was laboring. You know, Daryl was hung up. At the far end, I believe he'd lost drive and only had reverse. Dustin, he was having some engine problems in the 6210. What's going through your mind? It was almost down to a point where it was you and Bobby Brockway heads up.
You know, I don't know. It just keep on going. You know, I mean, I looked at one time and Fouché was no tires and Daryl was at the other end, and Toast, you know, he was laying some stuff down. I had a broken tie rod end, and I just kept working whatever car was in front of me. If I could just lay a wheel over, or I think Lance Pritchard was in front of me one time, and I just had to, you know, his back end was kind of bent up. I was trying to belly him and just keep moving. I think there was a guy from Iowa, too, you know, at the end there was smoking and steaming, and then one of the DMP cars at the end was kind of piled up down there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Vince had, you know, had Brockway stuck in the corner there, or stuck, you know, if they were hooked on one another, I just wasn't going to let Brockway out of there.
Right.
You know, he's a hell of a guy, hell of a builder, you know. And they had a tough weekend. I'm just glad they made it that far also.
Well, I mean, that was an impressive run in itself, coming from the loser's bracket all the way back up to second. And Bobby's not a guy that you want to give a second chance to, but, you know, those.
And I've been running against Bobby, and, you know, and like I said, you know, hell of a guy, nice guy. You know, we had to do some battling. Mayhem in 13. Another guy, though, look at Ryan Durham. Look how he drove that Vic, you know.
Yeah.
That thing was all balled up, and he just kept on a trucking with it, you know. And I believe he's the only one that couldn't come back out in his
right.
team, but he used it all up, and he used it well.
And if he didn't, it wouldn't have given them the opportunity to get the other cars back out there. I mean, that was
right.
the key. He had to go carry the torch. And Bobby Brockway and Toast, those guys were on the same team when those guys won back in 2011. So, I mean, there was,
absolutely,
there was an interesting connection there, the way that it all played out.
Right, right.
How about for next year? You know, looking at the wild cards, you put one together this year, maybe looking at a second one for next year. Are we going to see you back again to go for your third at Blizzard Bash?
I don't know that. You know, it's just, it's long. It's, I mean, we left Tuesday night. We got home at 4 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning.
Right.
You know, it's hard to put on a show like that and be committed. I mean, if you put something on a Wheat Crash thing or whatever you got and say, hey, I want you to sign up to be gone a week from your family and a week from your businesses and bring all your best equipment here and take a chance on ruining everything you own, you know, where do I sign up? It just, I mean, it's a hell of a show. I think Sam did a good job this year, mm-hmm, with the tech, with the, you know, things like that. But it's really long, and I'm really tired. You know what I mean?
Maybe this week isn't the week to ask if you're going to do it again, because I think the same answer from everybody would be, I gotta think it through. Come about maybe April, May, maybe the answer will be different.
You never know. You got to ask the team captain. You know, it's Monroe Inc. And
for sure.
I was real happy that you know, we picked up Adam Fouché, for that guy to come out of retirement and do what he did. You know, he got a good head on his shoulders, and he says what's on his mind. And some of us were kind of stressed out, and you looked at Adam and he said, don't worry about it. Let's just do what we do. You know, so
right.
It was really good to have his support there. Also, I mean, everybody on our team just worked great together. I really thought.
That's one of the things that we talked about amongst ourselves, was how well you guys work as a team. You and Daryl have been together for several years now, and the last 2 years been with Toast. You guys are that team is working so well as a cohesive unit. And adding Adam, you're not really losing anything in terms of continuity there, because he's driven in the team element so many different times with so many different places. He's basically one of those plug and play drivers that if you can get him on any team, he's going to be an asset.
You know, like the bottom of the day, you know, I think Toast is probably still smiling. I called him last week, and I said, "You smiling?" He says, "Hell yeah, he's smiling." You know, and for Daryl, you know, to ask me to come back on, you know, on this team, like I said, I have never ran some of this equipment, so I mean, I know he believed in me, and like Daryl said, you know, we're blessed. We're blessed to win this a second time, and I know Daryl was a little stressed out over the weekend, but you know, everything worked out, and you know, I couldn't be any happier. The way it went down.
Anybody that you want to make mention of to help get the car out there? We've talked about the equipment from IFD. We talked about the spindles. We talked about Monroe and the team coming together. Anybody else that we wanted to make mention of, or do you want to mention again?
You know, there's so many of them. You know, I mean, like I was always against the cable shifter. I got one from you know, Mavis, No Limit Racing. I got, mm-hmm, you know, my same engine builder has been with me forever. The Joker spindles, the Ingram stuff, I mean, the Narrett Bell. Let's go back to the Narrett Bell. That's in the middle of the car. You know, that's all important elements. You know, my pit guys, these guys work in my shop every night till 1 o'clock in the morning. Jay Fish, Davey Cruz, and my welder works in my shop here, you know. You know, all these guys, and most importantly, my family, my Elizabeth and the kids. You know, my daughter's off to college now, so my son ain't got his license yet, so, I mean, it was kind of short and short around here, and I didn't spend a lot of time with the family, and they allowed me to press on in a shop, and it takes a strain on a family, and it really does. And I think the general census shows that I was talking to a lot of guys, and their wives were sick of demo derbying after Blizzard Bash. So
right.
I really want to give a special thanks to my family.
In terms of the Christmas presents and stuff this year, since you already got the spindles, which at times can almost seem like a lifetime buy, once you get them, you don't need another set. What's next? What's going to be under the tree this year?
Maybe it's my turn to buy her something.
But what's she going to do with spindles?
She ain't getting spindles.
Awesome. Well,
so, I mean, like I said, I was just, I'm all done with demo derbying for the year. I pushed the car off. It's sitting in a shop here, and then I could give two shits less about it until after the first year, probably.
Well, enjoy your time off. You've certainly earned every bit of it, and definitely, Luke, sincerely, congratulations on the win.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll certainly be in touch here as the winter goes through, and we'll be talking to you soon, man. Congratulations again.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you.
Bye.
There goes Luke Johnson, coming with the win in the national team division. Going to be catching up with Zach Johnson here. Momentarily, quick item of business. Crash Course New Year's Eve party, the New Year's Bash, is in full swing. It's coming up in just about 5 weeks, thereabouts, at the Holiday Inn in Waterloo. We're going to be taking over the Chancellor Ballroom. We'll be we've got Creekside Entertainment. We're going to be offering up their services as DJ. We've got Aaron Bunce, who's going to be raffling off that awesome shocker. We shared pictures of that all over the place. A couple of folks thought that it was crusty. I don't know where that was coming from. Around here, that was pretty clean. And that's a swinging deal. Ryan Ostrander working together with him to get that thing outfitted in the right way. So that thing should be absolutely gorgeous come the 31st of December. Another thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to be raffling off that 1980, I think it was an 84, 87 Crown Vic. It was the black frame car. Steel bumpers front and back, runs, drives, moves, no title. Jeremy Gully coming through with that one. And then we've also got a Dodge truck that's going to be raffled off. And those are door prizes, the Crown Vic and the Dodge. Come to the door, you pay for your entry, you get tickets to open bar, you get the champagne toast at midnight, you get dinner, you get two tickets, one for each of you if you come as a couple, to the door prize table. And the first two door prizes being raffled off are going to be those two vehicles. And we're trying to figure out what W-body we're going to be putting on the table as well to make for a third vehicle. And then Doug Medlin is sending down a Bolton Cradle, which I believe is going to be done as a side raffle as well. So all that information out there, you got to get moving because our deadline's coming up quick for our cutoff at the end of this month. So get your orders in and send that stuff around, share with a friend. More the merrier. Sounds like Leon Rumsey is talking about coming up from Kansas, which would be great. Haven't seen him. And a number of people from Canada, including Anthony, Ron McClung, Rick Clark, Christy Germain, all that crew looking at making the trek down as well. So looking forward to seeing everybody at Crash Course New Year's Eve here in the coming weeks. We've got another item of interest that we want to tell everybody about. Napa Winter Slam coming up here just around the corner on February 11th, 2017. It's going to be in St. Peter, Minnesota. Napa Auto Parts Winter Slam. Weld class is paying $2,000 to win. Stock 80s class is $1,000 to win. Trucks are paying a grand, compacts paying $1,000 to win. The hardest hitter in each class brings home $300 and a trophy. It's a 4-1 and done. That's it, and it's already full. Longest toe is $100. Second longest toe is $75. Best paint of the event among all of them is $100. And there was like 22 cars to discuss on at the event last year. Build questions, you just send them to Randy Maslowski, 507-327-1944. That's 507-327-1944. Grounds information, you should direct that stuff to Jeremy Ertman, and his number 507-525-4290. That's 507-525-4290. Let's see here. And we got another one. Ultimate Derby coming just around the corner. Capital City Carnage. We're going to be at that one in no time. $10,000 to win in the limited wealth class. They've already posted their rules, and they are all set to go with that one. That is going to be $10,000 for first, $9,000 for second, and that just drops by $1,000 the whole way down. $9,000, $8,000, $7,000, $6,000, $5,000, $4,000, back to $7,000, $3,000, $2,000, $1,000, $4,000, $5,000 Mad Dog Award, $200 to enter, limited weld class. It's a 100-car limit in that one, and let's see. Lost my spot here. There we go. And you can jump online, ultimatederby.com, for more. You can email Candace at Ultimate Derby for details or to register there. Ultimate Derby, awesome to be part of that one. And Smash Demolition Derbies, if you haven't been on online at www.smashderby.com, they've got all the rules up for the upcoming Bash for Cash, which the dates of that have already been set at the end of May. On Memorial Day weekend, that's going to be an incredible show. It continues to go over the top, over the top, over the top. 26th through the 28th is the planned dates for that one, right? Coinciding again with Memorial Day. They send a big thank you out to all the drivers who made the year successful and for all of their continued support. Again, Smash It Derby's releasing information this past couple weeks about the rules for all the divisions that are going to be on hand at the Ross County Fairgrounds in Chillicothe, Ohio, for the Bash for Cash 2017. And rules, additional payout information details are going to be coming here shortly as we get closer to the first of the year for that one. Looks like there's a spring show that's possibly coming together down in Virginia. We'll be trying to keep an eye on that. JPG Towing, Penny and Jason Shipe trying to come up with yet another awesome show down there in the Virginias. We'll run through some of the results from Blizzard Bash. National team champion, as we said, Monroe Inc. Joker Inc. was the qualifying team champions. Limited Weld team was E2 Sliders. Ponds are winning that one. Compact team, OMM. Advanced Youth, Mason Larson. Stock Youth was Jake Long. Mason Larson winning that Advanced Youth feature. He was the guy that he won at Capital City Carnage 2 and took that car back around and got down into the top 10 in the main event at the first version of Capital City Carnage that we were at back earlier this year. Jake Long, again, with Stock Youth. Caleb Steidinger in the truck division. Bone Stock, Dylan Simonton, and awesome show front to back in that one. We'll catch up with Zach Johnson now here in just a second. I've got to get him on the line. And it came down to Zach and Daryl Ewing right there at the end, basically helping secure first place. Well, maybe it won't be Zach. It's Zach there. I think it must be his phone died. See if we can't find out what's going on with Zach. Let's see. Send him a quick note. And we'll do this. We're flying solo tonight because everybody else has been snowed in. Brian's all done with football at this point. Josh was trying to break free to come up and hang out with us this weekend or tonight, but unfortunately with the snow and crummy weather, his travel options had been limited pretty significantly, unfortunately. But I wanted to get some of his perspective. Big thanks out to Rachel and Jake Rozorik, who built that car for Josh that he ran. Hey, there's Zach Johnson. Zach, can I put you in? There's Zach. Congratulations, man. Coming away with a win on the qualifying bracket with Joker Inc. You're now in the national draw for next year.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. So, right at the top, the importance of making it into that national bracket. How important is that one?
Oh, it's very important. That's what we're hoping for. We went down there having an idea that we're going to try to get in there, but there's a lot of good teams that run the qualifying or whatever this year, and we pulled through, so it was a big plus.
Was it what you expected, getting down there and running in that? It's a little bit different than some of the other team events that you guys have done, but you've been successful in the team atmosphere before. The team arena is nothing that's new to you guys. What was it like in terms of what your expectations were?
I mean, it was definitely, we knew it was going to be a lot of work working on the cars, having to run 2, 3, maybe 4 times or whatever. There's definitely a lot more work involved on that, and just even pulling out on the track, pulling in the dome, you know, just seeing all the people looking at you, it's like your heart drops, like, holy hell, you know.
Right. Well, one of the questions that I just asked Luke a few minutes ago, and this is one that I'm going to run by you too, is when you're waiting there in line and you're seeing the cars being dragged out of the arena and they're just twisted all sorts of funky ways, what's going through your mind? Are you even looking at those? Are you aware that they're going by you? Are you just not even looking at it and focusing on what's going on in front of you between your feet and your bumper?
I mean, I looked at a couple of them thinking, holy hell, what's going to happen to us, you know, when we come out? But then you're just kind of concentrating too on trying to stick together when you go out there, watch for your teammates get hung up, especially the first night the track was, you know, was terrible. They fixed it, you know, and props to Sam Williams on that. That's crazy, you know, turn that around like that. But just trying to concentrate on trying to stay together as a group, watching for each other, you know.
You hit on a couple of different things. You know, first, let's back up a second. Did you guys feel that you had any type of, were you at any type of disadvantage having not been to that arena before?
No, I guess I can't say we did. I can't, no, not really, I guess.
So in terms of when you guys were choosing your cars and you were building the stuff, was there a lot of communication between you guys and other drivers that have already been there before so that you got a feel for what to expect when you're going over the ramps? Or did you guys just build the way that you always build and stick to what you know? Because there's been guys that we've talked to when we were out there in Topeka that were trying new stuff. There was guys that were sticking with the trusted stuff that they knew. They weren't even trying to venture into that area of experiment. Where did you guys fall on that spectrum in terms of how you prepared to come and run Blizzard Bash in the qualifying bracket this year?
We experimented actually quite a bit with different cars or whatever than what we normally run. Yeah, we talked to a couple drivers or whatever that normally run out there and got some ideas and put it together. And, yeah, it definitely was out of our comfort zone on cars for sure.
Did you feel any of the pressure from the Fantasy League? Your name, I had to type your name so many times. We were plugging in fantasy teams. You were, like, the number one chosen driver. Did that even register on your radar?
Oh, yeah, big time. You know, it's just the year that I had and the teams had, you know, and to have that on top of it, you know, and I tried to not keep track of it. We literally worked on our cars. We left Wednesday morning or whatever. We worked Tuesday night till midnight or whatever, loading stuff and mowing tires. And I really, the only time I had was I drive log trucks, so I'm working 13, 14 hours a day, come home, work out in the shop and whatnot. But my other teammate, Daryl or whatever, he kind of kept track of that. And he was always texting me, yeah, number one pick. It's like, oh, fuck, you know, I don't need to know this, you know, and I've got enough pressure going down there, you know, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what you're getting into.
So, right.
Yeah, it was definitely a big dagger.
We certainly delivered in the qualifying bracket, and it's a nice cap to the 2016 season. From your perspective, how good was this year? I mean, you've kind of run the table on everything you guys got involved with.
This year, it's got to... for me, it's got to be, it tops it since I've been derbying.
Yeah. I mean, you started out early, winning Spring Explosion, and you had momentum with you all summer long.
Oh, absolutely. It's like I had a horseshoe.
Tell me what some of the other milestones that you felt were most important to you through the course of the summer leading up to when we finally got together in Topeka.
Well, we ran Spring, did awesome there. I built a car for Drive for Five. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks after that. I ran Drive for Five every year except for, I think I missed it 1 year, and this year was the last year they had it. So really wanted to go down there and try to do good down there, and ended up pulling off the win there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I ran like 6 or 7 Tony fair shows this year or whatever. I think I lost 2 of them. Like that, won those, and... It was a phenomenal year. Then we went to Mayhem. Daryl won. I took second. My other buddy that runs with us took third. So it was like I said, it was a year to remember.
When you have that much momentum on your side, does it mess with your head at all when you're going out there and everything you touch is turning to gold? It's like, I know at some point this is going to come to an end. I can't ride this wave forever, and I just don't want it to be in November.
Yeah, you know, work on our Blizzard Bash cars, you know, I double checked everything, triple checked everything. Then me and my brother built out at the same shop, so I was going over his car, just making sure everything was there. You know, I'd go to bed at night just thinking, what did I forget to put a cotter pin in somewhere? Did I forget this? Did I forget that? You know, it's just a lot of pressure for sure.
So being that you were down there now and you got a chance to see the way the national bracket cars were built, did you pick up any tips or change? Did you see anything that now when you go back, and I'm assuming that you're going to build and come back for that national bracket. I don't see how you wouldn't, especially given the momentum that you're riding it in at least focused on Blizzard Bash, if not otherwise. Did you see anything that you want to try and apply to your builds?
I mean, yeah, there's some things we're going to try, some different stuff or whatever, and see if they're going to change the rules or not or whatnot. But first time going down there, you know, we could have did a lot more than what we did, and some different stuff or whatnot. But yeah, we're definitely going to come back to the Nationals.
What'd you think of the national draw, finally getting a chance to see it in person?
It's quite the deal. It's definitely quite the deal.
I'm always fascinated at how mangled those cars can get, and then when they bring them back out for the next round, they're all pulled back out and they look really good. You know, there wasn't any cars that came back out that were completely wasted. You're thinking, what's this guy's even coming out here for? The crews work so hard. This is on all the brackets between the national and the qualifying side. They spend so much time in the pits trying to get those cars back to running working order. There's no simple path to get a win down there in either one of those brackets.
No, absolutely not. And if it wasn't for the fixer plates on a couple of our cars, you know, it's just, you wouldn't have nothing left, and you wouldn't believe what them just some fixer plates can do for you, you know.
Mm-hmm. So where were you putting yours?
All over.
And but who may not have even been able to make it back out if it wasn't for the fix-it plates?
It would have been my brother Troy, and yeah. Daryl had a little bit of issues or whatever, but
oh,
me
really?
And Chris were sitting pretty good.
I thought Daryl's car was looking pretty straight.
Yeah, they both look straight afterwards, but once you get out and look at them or whatever, even after the second heat or whatever, they went a little goofy.
One of the things that we've talked about a ton of times with Blizzard Bashes is as heavy as the bumpers are and as much pressure with the cradles is on those rails, that if you can get a good hard hit, not so much on a wheel but on the edge of a bumper, you can get those frame rails to start to sway left and right. And once they start going left and right, then they really start to bend funky. Was that anything that you guys had to battle with through the course of the week?
Nothing really swayed on us. It's just my brother took a bad shot on the corner. One of the caddies caught him on the passer, born at a corner or whatever, and kind of shoved it straight back.
Yeah.
Them caddies are just ungodly fucking hard.
Is that something you're going to make a transition to? Are we going to see in caddies next year, or are you going to stick with the Fords?
It's been talked about.
Really?
Betcha.
But is that the only conversation, or were you talking about other cars too?
There's a few different ones we're talking about, just up in there, tossed around, you know, got almost a year to figure out what you're going to do.
You guys glad to see the end of the season?
What was that?
You guys glad to see the end of the season come?
Absolutely. I'm burnt out. my wife was ready to both kill me, and yeah, it's nice to get a break.
Yeah, I can understand that. Everybody that we talked to said this is the best way to end the season, and now let's not talk about derby cars for a little while.
Right.
How much time have you got in that car? We were talking with some folks that had 3 and 4 months. Some guys only had a month. It varied widely between what they were building, what their experience was.
We started on ours. It would have been the week after Labor Day is when we started on ours.
Man, it's a lot of time. And then you're working 13, 14 hours a day on top of that.
Right.
It's dedication.
No vacation.
No vacation. From Labor Day until Topeka, did you have any derbies that you ran with on the local level?
Labor Day weekend, we actually ran Jim Falls or whatever. There's a derby. It's actually our hometown derby or whatever. We ran Jim Falls, and after that, then we stripped everything out and started on our Topeka cars.
Wow. So that's a long stretch of time. That's about 10 straight weeks working on those cars, and it's all happening after hours. How about in terms of the duration of the weekend and having to run so many times? We've often described every round on the track as being like a feature at home, given what happens to the cars and the intensity of the drivers that are on the track. How did you guys feel that you acclimated to that many rounds in that short amount of time?
It was quite the deal. Every time you got done running, like you said, it was like a feature, and you just burnt down. And the time you got done running, you watched us show, had a couple beers, and the time you went to bed that night, it was just you're drugged down so bad, you woke up the next morning, get your 10 to 4 to work on them, you know, and you're just so drained, you know. And then we drove straight home after the derby Sunday night. I had to work on Monday, and we drove straight through, and it was 9 hours. So it was like towards the end of last weekend before I actually kind of felt normal again.
That's brutal. And then after that, you see the guys that were whacking their heads off of crossbars or window bars and stuff like that. I can't imagine they're feeling normal yet.
Right, exactly.
Take me through the final moments. I mean, you certainly had some help on your side with Daryl still out there in the 00. It came down to 2-on-1. Was it what was going through your mind as you guys worked through the final moments of that qualifying feature?
Well, my steering locked up there at the end or whatever, and I took that hard shot from that caddy or whatever, and I just was thankful I got back in that hole to try to keep the other guy occupied a little bit, and Daryl could steer yet and finish him off. So we're hoping to pull it off for a while there. We didn't know which way it was going to go, but it went in our favor.
Was what percentage luck and what percentage skill was that?
What was that there?
What percentage was it luck and what percentage was it skill?
Oh, God. I'd have to say 99% of it was luck.
Yeah. It, so many of these drivers that we see out there in Topeka, they lose their steering and it's just second nature. It's not a big deal at all. They just continue to, they hang onto the wheel and a lot of times you see them cranking on the wheel left and right, trying to get it to turn just out of pure instinct. But nobody ever gets excited when you get to this level. Nobody overdrives it. Nobody gets anxious. And when they lose steering, they start making bad decisions with it and stuff. What goes through your mind? And do you go out on the track knowing at some point I'm not going to be able to steer anymore, so I have to build the car this way so that I can still get the car to turn?
My only shot for that when I lose steering is hopefully the tranny holds up, and I got a very good tranny builder. And mm-hmm. That was pretty much what got me out of the corner and kept me alive out there, was just using the transmission 100% to keep spinning and getting around.
But do you go out there with a mindset knowing eventually, in my time on the track, I'm going to lose steering?
You try not to, but you try to cover all your bases. So, sure. I mean, there's always a time where anything can happen, you know. I mean, a wheel could fall off or anything, you know. So you go out there with a mindset thinking of your worst options, and hopefully it never happens. But if it does, you try to have somewhat of a game plan running through your head.
All these cars that you've got wins with, you park them out in the front lawn just so the neighbors know how good your year's been?
I lost you on that one. What was that?
I said, with as successful as your year has been, you take all the cars that have won and just park them in the front lawn so all your neighbors know how good your year has been?
No, they're still sitting all back because the price of scrap ain't worth nothing. So, but full of interior from the last ones, and they're still sitting down below.
I figured you'd have trophies and have them sitting right out front. Let everybody know that you're the best this year.
There's enough black marks on the road to clarify that.
That's awesome. next year, same schedule, same plan. You're going to be running Spring Explosion, Metal Mayhem, Blizzard Bash. Are you going to add anything?
Them three for sure. And I guess I don't know for sure what's going to happen. Too early to tell.
Yeah, I understand that. You certainly earned the time off, man. You going to enjoy it? You got anything planned for the holidays?
Thanksgiving Thursday or whatever, with the family and stuff. But I'll be sitting in my log truck here 6 days a week till end of March.
Well, be safe doing that, because the weather can get pretty treacherous up there. I can't believe that you guys that do the over-the-road work up in that neck of the woods. It's crazy.
Oh, it's crazy up here. It's once the ground freezes, it's wide open.
You guys are a little crazy.
Well, we try to be a little bit. You got to be to do this shit.
Well,
it was a month and a half before the Derby or whatever, and I actually broke my left arm, so it was just starting to heal when we're down there.
So you drove the Derby. You drove Topeka with a broken arm.
It was starting to heal. It wasn't completely broke anymore. It was just finally starting to heal. But yes, I did.
Yeah. That's how did you manage to break your arm?
I actually fell off the top of my log truck.
And did you just know it was broke, or did you have it set in a cast?
No, I knew it was broke.
Didn't bother with a doctor, though?
Yep, I went to the doctor. Oh, okay.
I was going to say, I didn't notice any Johnson Blue casts out there in the track.
Nope, I kind of kept it to myself and hit it, because I hate to say it, but if somebody would have saw it, you know, it's just down there, everybody's there for good time. Everybody wants to win, so just tried to hide it.
Anybody that you want to make mention of or give some recognition to that helped get the team out there? I mean, you guys drove so well out there. You're out there with Troy, Chris Collins, Dale Ewing. You certainly earned every bit of that. Anybody that you want to make mention of?
I'd definitely like to thank my teammates for putting up with this stuff and running with us. It's been quite the year and stressful on everybody. Especially like to thank our families, our wives, and kids for dealing with all this. Joker for all the parts and stuff. Drop Automotive for a motor that just don't quit running. And Ski Inc.
Hard to argue with that rundown right there. It's behind a lot of winners, those combinations.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, man, I appreciate you making some time for us. Be safe during the off season. We're looking forward to seeing you here someplace here as we work towards 2017 and enjoy that win. Congratulations on it.
Thank you guys very much. Have a good night.
You bet, man. We'll see you later.
Later.
There goes Zach Johnson, winner of the qualifying bracket. And we are going to get Zach Ponser here in just a moment. Oh, whoops. So as we're saying, just as we got Zach on the phone here a minute ago, was Rachel and Jake Wazorik worked together to get that car together for Josh so that he could run in the stock class. And he was a pincushion for sure. He was going to get picked on no matter what happened with the big Decker down the side of the door. But he did a nice job, and it was a huge thank you out to those guys. And Ben and Josh are going to be running together at Capital City Carnage in their extreme class here. Hey, Zach, can I put you in? This is Chris with Crash Course Podcast. Eric just sent me your number. Can I put you in?
Yeah, if you want.
And there's a seemingly surprised Zach Ponser. Zach, man, congratulations on the weekend down there at Blizzard Bash. You did an awesome job.
Yeah, thank you. It's a good time.
Oh, tough drivers out there.
Was it what you expected?
Yeah, pretty much exactly the, you know, I've ran that show a few times, and that's about what we expect. Usually every time we go, there's always the best competition and tough heat draw and, you know, tough feature.
Whoops. I'm working on the computer screen here as we talk. You guys brought a great team down there, and sure enough, it was right up there. It came right down to the wire. How important was it to you guys to come with the win in that limited world bracket?
It was just, I mean, to go down there every year, we always, you know, have the highest intentions on winning, but that doesn't always pan out the way we want it to. But to be on that, you know, on that level and that platform performing, it's awesome. And let alone to walk away with the win, it's just unbelievable. You know, it's kind of what we prepped for all year, and everything was just working great for us that day, and just everything worked.
You've had a heck of a year this year.
Yeah, I had a really good year. Ran quite a few team shows, and had a lot of luck, and just had a great teammates, and everything worked out and held together really good this year.
Is it luck? Is that what it is? Is luck the difference? It just has to be your year? Or is it when you surround yourself with the right people and make the right decisions that things can really come together?
I mean, luck plays a big role, you know, just with the heat draw and stuff like that. But, I mean, there is, I always call it preventative luck, you know, having great equipment, having really good drivers around you, having a great pit crew. I mean, that definitely helps with the wins. You know, it definitely helps the guy get the upper edge and stuff, and just years of experience. So having that seat time, it does come down to driving. You can have the best equipment out there, but if you can't wheel the car, you still ain't going to pick up the win. But, you know, surrounding yourself by great drivers and great people, and even having good competition out there, it seems like that even makes you a better person, in my opinion, or a better driver.
In terms of, we're talking about who you surround yourself with, let's mention who those guys are. Willie Lochner, who he decided...
Oh, Willie is a great friend of mine. I met him a couple years ago out of Hot Rock in the Fourth. It was the first time I met him, and just a great guy, to be honest with you. He's positive, always having fun, has a smile on his face. Other guys that pretty much I learned everything from, Shea Walden and Dookie Skrull.
Yep.
You know, they're pretty much legends in the sport. Shea built a really mean car, and they hold together great, and Dookie can drive a car like no one's business. And I kind of just took a little bit of both their building talent and driving skill and put them together. And I mean, they've taught me so much in the sport. I owe everything to them guys. You know, there's just a lot of great guys there. Zach Fetro was my teammate out in May Mania, and you know, another great guy. Helped any another guy I've been hanging out with a lot, Brady Larson. He built a pretty stiff car. He knows how to wheel one too. So there's just, it seems like in this sport today, I mean, there's really no weak links anymore. Everyone's got really nice stuff, and the competition's fierce everywhere we go.
And you won Mandan too this year, right?
Yeah, our team won Mandan. That team show there actually had a really good day out there. Everybody stuffed it all together. We had all four cars running at the end, and
wow.
That turned out great. And then we did go down to Mobridge, South Dakota's got that bigger team show too. We went down there and ended up winning that one too. So we had a really good year for team shows.
And running with different guys at different times, nonetheless, it seemed like you guys were moving and thinking as one. That's such an important piece of that, is being familiar with what your teammates are going to do, being able to almost trust them to make the decision that you need them to make.
Oh, exactly. And that's, like, with me, Shea, and Duke, we've been running together for, I think, 13 or 14 years now, something like that. And, I mean, it's pretty much when we're out there, us three for sure, we know exactly where everybody's going to be, when they're going to be there. We hardly even have to look over our shoulder half the time, because we just know that if someone's kind of messing with us, one of Shea or Duke's going to be coming to clean up the slack there. So
it's
a good time.
So it turns out, I had a chance to bump into Willie Lochner, and it was one of the first times we've talked to him in person. And it turns out Willie is as crazy as he looks when he drives a car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's not afraid to wreck everything. Too. He's got, you know, a top-of-line engine in there and best partner, and he'll sit there and shoot everything up he's got just to put on a show and make the big hits. I mean, he's a good asset to the team, in my opinion. Some people think that just because he goes out there and dozes that he's didn't contribute, but, I mean, he helped out, too. He was taking cars out every time he hit them. So, I mean, he was definitely an asset to our team down there. And he's fun to watch and fun guy to hang out and be with, too, that's for sure.
As hard-hitting as that feature was, it came down to some pretty smart driving at the end. Walk us through the final moments of that limited weld feature that ended up leaving you guys in first place.
Well, it came down, me and Shea were running really good. Our cars were looking good, and then he ended up over by the wall there, and I could see that he wasn't backing up. He ended up losing his tranny is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the two remaining guys, I believe they got the bye, actually. So they had pretty nice cars down at the end, and then actually a South Dakota team there that we bumped into him a couple times in Mulbridge there, so I just kind of crossed my fingers that he'd help me out a little bit and we could take the other team out that had two cars running. And I seen they were both having steering issues, so it kind of came down to it, and I got I believe that was Mr. Frost. I got him kind of pushed out in that corner, and I just wanted to keep him away from his teammates so he couldn't keep resetting the time clock on it, and kind of got him down in that corner, and he worked himself in there a little further, and I kind of wiggled him around a little bit better, and got lucky, and he ended up running a time before he could get out of that back corner there. And then I believe it was Nathan from South Dakota there. He ended up right behind me there. And, I mean, he had me nervous for a little bit. I thought he was going to catch me in that corner, and I just got enough room to get going forward and backward and got him in the corner there. And the rest is history, I guess. It kind of got lucky, and the car was moving good. Everything was working great that day for me.
It was Jamie Frost and Team WFO that got that that buy. And with two of those cars left, I got to tell you, I was thinking that it was going to be theirs to win. The Burgundy cars, that it's two on. It still was going to come down to being two on two because the guys from Black and Blue, Team Crazy Train, Nathan Rohrbach, and you familiar enough with each other where we would think logically that you would be in then working with Team Black and Blue, even though you're from opposite teams, just to divide and conquer. That's what ended up happening. And when Nathan followed, I think it was Coy Lemming, down into that knot of cars. Coy drove in there trying to get away, and he went into a dead end. And then that was when Nathan was able to work his way in there, even though he was having some serious trouble navigating with his car. He was able to get Coy hung up when you got Jamie hung up, and then you came down and found Nathan and was able to pack him in that corner and that long wheelbase on his car. He just couldn't get out once you pinned him in. And it did come down to a driver's feature. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was, like I said, just great competition. It is a blast driving against all the guys that were in the feature. I mean, it was fun, that's for sure. And to come out with a win was unbelievable.
So May Mania next year again. It's going to be in March. We're going to be out there on the 13th. I assume we're going to see you there. Probably going to see you at Mandan again. You going to do Mulbridge again next year?
I'm thinking so, yeah. We kind of run them shows every year, I guess. And they're always just a great time out there. You know, they got a bunch of great people put it on, really some good drivers, super nice people there and stuff. So I'm sure I'll be hitting up them shows again next year and just maybe throw a couple more in here. But we'll kind of see how this winter goes if I stay on the ball and build some cars.
And what about for Blizzard Bash next year? Are we going to see, I mean, you guys did well with the limited world card. Are you going to come down for Capital City Carnage, or are we going to see you in one of the other divisions at Blizzard Bash?
Well, signed up for Capital Carnage. We'll kind of play it by ear if I get time to get a car built and everything. They usually do, I guess, so that's kind of the plan. Blizzard Bash is still kind of up in the air right now. I'm
you know, that is a pretty big step to set up to the qualify. Our work involved, a little bit involved, but definitely something that's on the table. We'll kind of see what this winter comes and kind of early next summer and everything, and see if get the guys rounded up together to make a run at it.
Would be awesome to see out there. It'd be fun to see what you guys could do in that qualifying bracket, and then who knows, all of a sudden you're in the national draw.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anybody that you want to make mention of that helped keep the team out there? I know E2 has been a major player of your effort, and certainly those sliders were put to good use over the weekend and at Blizzard Bash. Who else helps keep the cars out there?
Elvis does a great job. He keeps us, you know, updated. He bought the wraps and everything for our car. Great sponsor, super nice guy and everything. I got, I think, 3 of his drive shafts, and they all work flawless. I mean, his service or customer service is second to none, and he's just a great person. Kind of my family. My daughter, Caprice, she always is out there helping me work on my cars and stuff. Just loves the sport, loves to be out there cheering for me and everything. My dad, he's always helped me since day one. You know, he's kind of helped get me into the sport and always had my back there. My smoking hot girlfriend, she's always out in the shop helping me and cheering me on and stuff like that too. So she puts up with me and the sport and all the late nights. So it's always awesome to have someone supporting you like that too. But just kind of all my friends that, you know, I'd stop by and help me here and there, nights in the shop and everything. I mean, it's all them that helped me get the car together and keep me wheeling the cars and doing what I love, I guess. So.
Sounds good. I mean, having a good support system behind you can make this sport a whole lot easier than otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, Zach, I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us for a little while. Congratulations on the win with
yep,
Team E2 Sliders.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You bet, man. Anytime. Doors open. I look forward to seeing you here coming up in March, Capital City Carnage, and then again in May when we're out there in Utah.
Yeah, hopefully we can have a couple good runs out there, too. We'll kind of see what that brings, but...
Time will tell. You enjoy the holidays. What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
I think we're just going to have a little family get-together. Nothing too special, but, I mean, it will be special. Just my immediate family together. It should be a good time.
Eric told me that you guys cooked the turkey with a welder. Is that true?
it depends. We'll see. We'll see how much fun we have earlier in that day. Maybe end up cooking it under the welding glow.
Sounds good to me, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, no problem. Take
see
it easy.
See you, Zach. There goes Zach Ponser winning the limiter ball team feature. HT. HTRC out of Ohio. They won the RC Team Derby. Misfits came away with second place in that one. I can't believe we were able to get all 3 phone calls in on that phone line. The battery just died on that one. You probably heard the familiar chirp if you ever tuned into Crash Course Podcast before. HCRC, as we said, came away with the win in the RC Derby out there at Blizzard Bash, and it was Jen Anderson, I believe, that came away with the win in the Fantasy League. She won by about a 6-8 point edge in that one. All that stuff coming together for her as we work through the main event. It's Dustin Anderson's wife that came with the win in that. So she'll be at Blizzard Bash coming up next year. She's got to get in touch with Sam Williams. Big thanks out to Sam Williams for having us out. Always an awesome time to be out there. And it was exciting to be able to work with Derby Nation and Derby Tees as they put together that pay-per-view program. Fortunate to be able to go out there and talk about the greatest indoor derby in the country. Awesome show, again, front to back. I think, though, that we have run to our max here tonight, and we're going to be sticking a fork in it. We're going to have a couple lawnmower guys on next week, and then we'll do some coverage of the Tigert Memorial. Again, the Turkey Derby, the Tim Tigert Memorial Turkey Derby is going to be on Saturday, November the 26th, 2 o'clock. All purses are guaranteed. Derby Tees Pro Mod, $2,500 for first, $1,000 for second, $500 for third. The Joker stock car is $1,000 to win, $500 for second, $200 for third. Heavy trucks, $1,000 to win, $500 for second, $200 for third. Light trucks, same thing. And 108-inch minis, same thing. $1,000 to win for both of those divisions. Everything is guaranteed. They got a youth derby, ages 12 to 16. Lawnmowers, 100% payback with an entry fee of $30 there. Mad Dog Awards in all the classes. Again, this happens at 783 North Meridian Street in Greentown. Indiana. Power Wheels Derby for the kids is going to be on the card. Awesome show, awesome cause. I know Jason Koch has been very active with this one, along with the folks over there at Derby Tees. The Gitter Bent, Tim Tiger Memorial Turkey Derby, Saturday, November 26th in Greentown, Indiana. That is going to do it for this edition of the Crash Course. Appreciate everybody coming and hanging out with us here for the course of the night. We'll be back here again next Monday. Have a good Thanksgiving. We'll see everybody then. Thanks.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com. The 2015 Wadena Grand Slam. Bolt Lockwood Motorsports and the 2015 Keystone National. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash 2015. Demo Derby Master. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it. Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.